Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. In the last work for the warning of the world, two distinct calls are made to the churches. The second angel's message is, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And in the loud cry of the third angel's message, a voice is heard from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. As God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, that they might keep his Sabbath, so he calls the people out of Babylon, that they may not worship the beast or his image. After the truth has been proclaimed as a witness to all nations, every conceivable power of evil will be set in operation, and minds will be confused by many voices crying, Lo, here is Christ! Lo, he is here! This is the truth. I have the message from God. He has sent me with great light. Then there will be a removing of the landmarks and an attempt to tear down the pillars of our faith. A more decided effort will be made to exalt the false Sabbath and to cast contempt upon God himself by supplying the day he has blessed and sanctified. This false Sabbath is to be enforced by an oppressive law. But while Satan works with his lying wonders, the time will be fulfilled foretold in Revelation. And the mighty angel that shall lighten the earth with his glory will proclaim the fall of Babylon and call upon God's people to forsake her. When do her sins reach unto heaven? When the law of God is finally made void by legislation. Then the extremity of God's people is his opportunity to show who is the governor of heaven and earth. As a satanic power is stirring up the elements from beneath, God will send great light and power to his people that the message of truth may be proclaimed to all the world.
Our kind Heavenly Father, once again we are so thankful that you've given us a bread of life to bear today. As we see the signs being fulfilled all around us, Father, we realize that more than ever before, the time has come for us to search our lives to see if there be anything hidden in our life that will hinder you and I from being on one accord in the nation, from being on one accord when you should return. Because, Father, we realize that if we are not on one accord, we will be left behind, because when you come, you will not tarry, but take all those who are ready to be home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regular listening audience and say a special welcome to those who might be listening to us for the first time. Once again, I want to apologize that we will not have a health section this week, but for sure next week we will have our health section. So those of you who tune in for the health section, for sure next week we'll have something in that regard. But you can continue to listen as we again go into discussion on the Sabbath. There's been many things written in the papers lately about the Sabbath, so we want to help to clear up any of the misconceived ideas that people might have. Now, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273 or to write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or most of you might be aware that we have a website set up now, and you could ask questions on the website, and you could log on to www.tpministries.org. Or if you happen to be away from the Bahamas, because I know this is a time when many of us leave the island for vacation, you can listen to us at www.znsbahamas.com. Now this afternoon we're going to take a different approach to our normal way of doing our program. It's going to be more or less a roundtable discussion with Brother Paul Minner and Brother Kendrick. As you might be aware, he was a gentleman we had on last week who gave his testimony. But before we get into that, what I'm going to do is let Brother Paul give us an up-to-date of where we have arrived at this point in our study on the commandments and the Sabbath.
Thank you, Brother Jordan. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, we are happy to be in the studio preparing a message for you and coming to you not live, but pre-recorded in your homes and through your radio or wherever you might be today. Once again, like Brother Jordan said, there's a lot of debate going on about which day truly is the Sabbath day, and all the historical facts and also church facts will state clearly that Saturday still is the Sabbath day, and believe it or not, there's going to be a time when the Sabbath is going to be the great controversy just before our Savior return. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, you will see verses 6 to 12, you will realize there are two forms of worship that is going on. There's a group of people worshiping the man who's created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters, and a group of people is worshiping the beast and his image. Today the question needs to be asked, which group are you represented by? We're also going to be offering today for the first time since we've been, we're going to be I'm going to sell you a book. If you really want to know what the Great Controversy is all about, we have a book in studio with us that we'd like to make available to you for a small fee of $4. Money back guaranteed. If you should read this book through and see that it doesn't help you in your spiritual life, it could be today, tomorrow, whenever you bring it back, 2 years later, your money will be refunded and you'll make it notable on your receipt. It's $4 for the book called The Great Controversy, and it has a lot of chapters in there. It was written in the year 1800s, late 1800s. And most of the things that are written in this book are now being fulfilled in the year 2000 and beyond. And I assure you, if you're really a Bible student, if you really want something to read outside of the Bible, this book is the book to read. It's called The Great Controversy, and you can call us for this book at 322-6273. And like I said, it'll be a small fee of $4, money back guaranteed. And if the book does not seem to be a blessing to you, we assure you that Turning Point will refund you all of your funds. Don't care how late you might bring the book back.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Good afternoon, Brother Kenrick.
Good afternoon.
Renrick.
Thank you.
Renrick. I'm sorry for that. Now, the papers, as we read the papers in the last couple of weeks, there's been many discussion concerning the Sabbath. So my first question to you gentlemen this afternoon is, why is the Sabbath important?
The Sabbath is important because it is a part of God's law. It was handed down, handwritten by God, and given to mankind. It's a sign between God and us of faithfulness, of obedience, of faith.
We also need to realize another reason why the Sabbath is so important is because we both realize, at least the whole world should now realize, that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, for sin, whoever commits sin, transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And the dictionary even states it much more clear. The dictionary says, when you and I sin, we break a divine law, which is true. You see, the devil realized, ladies and gentlemen, that any sin we hold on to, lying, hate, envy, greed, lust, whatever the sin might be, he knows that sin will cause you to be in the kingdom of fire with him. Not in the kingdom of hell, but in the kingdom of fire, where the Lord said he will destroy the wicked. And the devil realized that hell was made for the devil and him, for him and also his angels. But if he can get you to just break one of the commandments, he knows which your end result is going to be. So what he does, he makes up a false Sabbath. Like today, the devil also tells you that if you listen to what the devil says, me and Brother Julie could go away and get married. Because the church now is marrying men. You know that? The church is marrying two men. Or I can divorce my wife and she can go marry another woman. Here again, she's going to be married by the church. So what is the devil? Everything God has, ladies and gentlemen, the devil have a counterfeit. So what you need to do is search the scriptures. And today we will share with you some facts on truly how Sunday became the proper day of worship. And like we said in the past, if you share anything that's not right, we expect for someone to call us. But up to this day, no one has called us yet. So it appears everything that we share with you is the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ.
My other question to you this afternoon is, again, looking at the church community today, is the Sabbath important to Christians today?
Certainly is. When we look through the Bible, particularly the New Testament, we see the examples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the examples of the apostles, of the disciples, that they all kept the Sabbath day. They kept it holy in obedience to God's law.
The Bible also tells us in the book of Proverbs, if we should turn away our ear from hearing the law of God, even our prayer should be an abomination. And there are 10 of them. Any one of the laws we stand guilty of breaking, be assured God do not hear our prayer. The devil truly answers most of these prayers, ladies and gentlemen, and then some of us believe that our blessings are an answer from God. But here again, the Bible gives an answer in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 45. God reigns on the just and the unjust. So you might be saying, oh, I'm being so blessed worshiping on Sunday. Well, the Bible just tossed that concept out of the window in Matthew 5:45, that God is not no respecter of person. And if you love him, he's going to bless you. And if you don't love him, he's going to still bless you. Because remember, 1 John said, for God truly is love.
Now, let's first do a little backtracking concerning the Sabbath. When was the Sabbath first mentioned?
The Sabbath was first mentioned during the week of creation. After God created the world, he created time, he created the world, he created the animals, he created man. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He created the Sabbath day as a memorial for his creation, of the creation week, and he rested on that day.
But isn't it true that at that time, there was no command that we should keep that day holy?
Not written in word. No, it is not written in word that we should keep it holy, but we must come to the conclusion that the Bible says the law was given to all mankind. Why did I say that? The Bible says, for where there's no law, there's no transgression. Simply mean that if the government of Bahamas decided to discard all of the laws that we have in the Bahamas, that means we can do whatever we want to do, and there'll be chaos. So if the government of the Bahamas can have a law to regulate its people, how come the God of the universe who has the government in the position that they're in should not have such a law. And there are men teaching men today that the law was nailed to the cross. Think about it. If the law was nailed to a cross, then why do ministers get upset when you don't pay your tithes and offering?
Well, there's one person that persons like to say that he did not keep the Sabbath, and that's Abraham. So my question to you this afternoon is, did Abraham keep the Sabbath?
Yes, he did. The Bible says clearly in Genesis that Abraham kept all of God's commandments and all of God's statutes. That's Genesis
26 and 5.
Thank you, Brother Henry. So the Bible is quite clear that Abraham kept all of God's commandments and all of God's charge. And also earlier in Genesis, before that, the Bible says that Abraham was perfect. And the book of Psalms, chapter 19, says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's Genesis chapter 17. Says that Abraham walked before God, and the Lord saw him that he was perfect. We also see that Job was also perfect in Job chapter 1. So what is it that caused these men perfect? It's because they were abiding in the law of God, what only points out sin. It doesn't give us victory nor power. It only tells us what sin is.
And also, when we look at the wording of the fourth commandment, it starts off with the words, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this, God phrases the commandment this way, pointing back, was in time, to the creation week. Before that, before there was a Jew or Gentile, before there was Bohemian or American, there was man. And he created the Sabbath, and he gave it to man. And that's why in Exodus, he words the fourth commandment saying, remember, this is something that I've given to you from creation in its inception. Remember that day.
The Bible also tells us, a lot of people like to say the commandments were not given to the human beings. Mostly only the commandments were given to the children of Israel. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, the last two verses, the Bible states clearly, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not the Jews, not the Gentiles, but man, period, meaning mankind. For God should bring every work into judgment, whether it be a secret thing, or whether it be good, or whether it be evil. So what is God going to bring into judgment? All of our works. And what is going to be based on? Based on the commandments. And James chapter 2 tells us, so speak ye, and so do, that you should be judged by the perfect law of liberty.
Are you saying then that the commandment, or the Sabbath, was not just given to the Jews?
No, it's not. It was given to the whole world. Based on what Christ said in John chapter 14 verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, meaning that he's not going to force you. And that's why he said, put the word if. If you love me, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, keep my commandments. And what will be the result? We would have peace and harmony here on earth. Because Proverbs tell us, in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, my son, my daughter, forget not my law or my commandments. Why? Why should we do this? And where should we keep them? Let them be kept upon our hearts, these commandments. And what will be the result? We have length of days and long life and peace till they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. So should I have favor with and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And that's what the world wants. All in the talk shows, they rambling back foot and forth, wondering what we can do. What happened in the workplace out, in the schools, in the government. But it's right here in the Word of God. Send one text, and you can close shop. That's Proverbs chapter 3, 1 to 5. You just read it. And everything in the earth will be exactly the way God has designed it to be.
When we look at the Christian world and we study the churches, we know for sure that based on what the majority of, especially Protestant churches, all Christian churches I should say, is that there seemed to have been a change. Because everybody agreed that originally we worship on Saturday. And today, the majority of us worship on a Sunday. So there was a change. The question I want to ask for you is, and I'm sure you gentlemen have done some research. In your research, how did this change come about?
It came about by the hands of man. The authority of man said that we will change the day. We'll institute our own day of worship, and we'll set it above God's day. And that's where it originated. Historically,
and then you might think that Brother Renrick is making it all up, but it's all predicted in the Word of God in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 talks about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, paper Rome. And what you will discover when paper Rome came on the scene, paper Rome wiped out three nations, known as the Hurlies, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths. Why did they do this? Because the church changed the rules and regulations of the Bible and decided that if they don't want to follow, they're going to wipe them out. And they fulfilled Bible prophecy by wearing on the saints of God. They also, in that same chapter 7, verses 25, the Bible says they will seek to change times and laws. Did they do that? The papacy brags and boasts in the Converse Catechism that they changed their worship from Saturday to Sunday. It's there on page 50 of the Converse Catechism. And you could also go on the internet at the Catholic Church website And you will discover in the change of the commandments, it says, the observing of the Sabbath day to keep holy is the 7-day Sabbath, a solemn rest and holy unto the Lord. But when you get to point 2190, they said the Sabbath, which represents the completion of the first creation, has been replaced by Sunday, which recalls the new creation regarding the resurrection of Christ. So it appears that the church is a little bit confused. But are they being confused? No, they're not. They brag and they boast about what they did. And the Bible says that the 7-day is the Sabbath, not a Sabbath. Not. It could be. It is the Sabbath. A lot of people say you can use any day. You can use it. Is that true? Is it biblical? Can you find something in the Bible to tell to the nation that we can choose any day? I think not, because I've searched the scriptures and I've not yet found anything.
And another quote that we can look at was taken from the Catholic Press in August 25th, 1900. And it says, and I quote, "Sunday is a Catholic institution and can be defended only on Catholic principles. From the beginning to the end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of the weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first."
We also have another quote coming from the papacy or from the Catholic Church, where it's asking a question to Protestants, meaning that all churches that are not Roman Catholic. He says, and it's, and I quote, "You tell me that Saturday was the Jewish Sabbath and that the Christian Sabbath has been changed to Sunday. Changed by whom? Who has the authority to change the express command to Almighty God? When God has spoken and said, thou shalt keep holy the 7-day, who should dare say nay? Thou shalt do all manner of work unworthy business on the 7-day, but thou shalt keep holy the first day instead. This is a most important question, which I know you don't know how to answer. You are a Protestant, meaning you are a Sunday keeper, and you profess to go by the Bible and the Bible only. Yet in so part of a matter, the observance of 1 day and 7 as a holy day, you go against the plain letter of the Bible and put another day in place of that which is commanded. The command to keep holy the 7 day is one of the 10 commandments. You believe that the other 9 are still binding. Who gives you the authority to tamp over the 4th? If you are consistent with your principles, if you really follow the Bible and the Bible only, you ought to be able to produce some portion of the New Testament in which the 4th commandment is expressly altered." So the Catholic asks this question a few years ago from the Library of Christian Doctrine, Burns and Owen, on page 3 and 4 of London. And up to this day, no Protestant church outside the Catholic, whether it be Baptist, Anglican, Methodist, Presbyterian, have answered the Catholic question. And here we are today. Most of our Christian brothers in Radio Land are going to church on Sunday, thinking that in some way God will understand. But truly, will he understand? When you look at the way Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, ladies and gentlemen, you realize that nowhere in Bible prophecy the majority was ever right. Cain is only going to be lost because he brought fruits instead of bringing a lamb. The people of the days of Noah are going to be lost because they didn't enter into the ark. They stayed on the outside. So Bible prophecy is filled with a lot of examples. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it should be when he returned. As it was in the days of Lot, so it should be when he returned. Where the majority of people are going to be lost, and just a few are going to be saved into the kingdom of God.
So in your answer to the question, never once have you said that they use a text to say that the day was changed.
No text on the Bible.
Okay, so my question now to you all is this. The Protestants, or the non-Catholics, Christians, surely they have a text for the Sabbath being changed, because they keep Sunday holy. So where do the Protestant, or where do they get their stuff to stand on the change of the Sabbath?
Let's look at two quotes from two prominent Protestant leaders. And the first we'll take from the Archbishop of the Anglican Church, and this quote from Paul Carrington, October 27th, 1949, and he says, and I quote, "Nowhere in the Bible is it laid down that the worship should be done on Sunday. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is Saturday." And this is from an Archbishop of the Anglican Church. And we have a second quote here, and this is taken from sermons on several occasions by John Wesley, and you know, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. And it says, "But the moral law contained in the Ten Commandments and enforced by the prophets, he did not take away. The moral law stands on an entirely different foundation from the ceremonial or ritual law. Every part of the law must remain in force upon all mankind and in all the ages." And we know that at the center of the moral law, the Ten Commandments, is the Sabbath day.
You also find a quote coming from the Catholic Church in its records on September 1st, 1923. And it says that Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transfer of the Sabbath is proof of that fact. Did you get that? The Catholic Church says the church, their church, the papacy church, is above the Bible. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Did the Bible surely give the church this type of power, that they are above the Bible? Not when we go to the scriptures. In the book of Revelation chapter 22, there's a clear word that if we add to the scriptures, or we take away from the scriptures, we'll be lost. You read that in Revelation chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. So no one has the power. They might say they have the power, but that power is not given to them based on no Bible scriptures. We need scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, to deal with people. Why? John 17:17, Jesus tells us, undoubtedly, sanctify my people through the truth. My word is the truth, not other man's opinion, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, one of the things,
Brother Paul, Brother Julian, I'd like to turn the tables here and ask you guys a question. Do we have any example in the Bible of any of the patriarchs being men like Moses or Abraham, any of the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, and any of Christ's disciples? Do we have any example from any of them where they did not worship on the Sabbath, or where they transferred the worship of the Sabbath to the first day of the week, Sunday?
As we study the Bible, there's no indication that we could find that any of the prophets, the patriarchs, or the disciples kept Sunday as holy. As a matter of fact, if we look into the New Testament, we'll find that when it was time to embalm Jesus' body, a matter of fact, his disciples and Mary Magdalene and his mother and all of them did not go to embalm him. Why? Because the Sabbath drew nigh. If the Sabbath was being done away with, this would have been an excellent time for those who have followed Christ all those years to say, you know something, since the Sabbath is not important, let us now go and do what? Embalm his body. That's Jesus himself. So if there's a day, I think most of us would say, if you're going to do any work, it should be for Jesus. But notice, they did not. So this is a clear indication, from my point of view, that the Sabbath was not changed.
I think, when I think about this question about if there's any scriptures, I know that people use a lot of scriptures. They use these scriptures out of context. I remember the other day we were invited to by the Church of Christ. They share with us our conviction of why we believe the Sabbath day is still important for all mankind today. And one of the texts they used at the Church of Christ setting was that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. But I said, now notice what your argument is based on. It's not based on the Sabbath day, but based on the breaking of bread. And Christ left this example for all of his followers. And Christ says, as often as you do this, referring to the breaking of bread, he said, you must do this in remembrance of me. Now notice he didn't say remembrance of the Sabbath day, but in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then Paul laid down a principle in 1 Corinthians, where he says that whenever you take the communion, you must make sure your life is in order, because some people take it unworthy of, and not in their grave sleeping today, because they take the communion without searching of their lives, if they are guilty of breaking any of the commandments. And how many people they take communion and are guilty of breaking the seventh-day Sabbath? So what I say to you, until you are sure if the seventh-day Sabbath is true or not, you shouldn't take the communion. It'd be better for you not to take it than to take it knowing you're already breaking one of God's 10 commandment laws that are listed in Exodus chapter 20.
And what a powerful thought, ladies and gentlemen, that when we think back that Christ, and historians say that he lived until he was in his mid-30s or so, when we think back and we look and through the scriptures and we see that during his whole life, something as monumental as important as the changing of the Ten Commandments, the changing of the law to say that the Sabbath would be changed from Saturday to Sunday, something of that importance, not once did he ever mentions or authorize that change. In a matter of fact, contrary to that, he left us his example where he kept the Sabbath every week. He kept the Sabbath day holy.
According to Luke 4:16.
Now, one of the most questions that I get concerning the Sabbath is, we are not sure that Saturday is the Sabbath. Somehow it was changed, because you know the days were changed with the Romans and all this kind of stuff. So could you all explain, I think it might be our last question, could you explain to the audience today, how can we be sure that Saturday is the Sabbath and or the seventh day?
Well, one of the things I normally tell people, I say, you know who your parents are, and you're sitting sure about that because you weren't there. They only by faith, they tell you that's your parents, or you believe by faith that's your parents. You know when is your birthday. You know when you have to go to get your passport renewed. You know have all those dates and figures right. If not, you won't get no passport. And I'm in trouble when you're going to the United States of America. If you have something that ain't right, my brother and sister, you know for sure you ain't going nowhere. Not to the big land of America. So how can people be so sure about these aspects of life, but when it comes to the seven-day Sabbath, there has doubt? There's no reason for us to be confused. The Catholic Church did do what they said they did. They did fulfill Daniel 7:25. What I love with the Catholic Church is they don't hide behind what they did. is the Protestant, the Baptist, the Anglican, and the Methodist that has the problem. Because they're going right along and say that the Sunday worship is now the Lord's Day. But where did they get that? When John said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he didn't attach no number to it. The only thing you can attach is Jesus saying, he is Lord of the Sabbath. If you want to attach anything, it must be the seventh day. But even then, I don't want to attach anything to make sure I don't go contrary to the scripture. I stand on a neutral zone. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Which day it was? I can't tell you because the Bible didn't tell me. But if I was to attach something, it would be the seventh day because Jesus Christ said he is Lord of the Sabbath.
And you know, Brother Paul, Brother Julian, I think that we should all be Christian historians. And we should go back and search the history books. We should search the dictionary and we should see, you know, what do these scholarly books say about the Sabbath. And they all point and say that the seventh day is the Sabbath. We have the examples of the Jews. And not once did they change the day, and not once did we see any shift where the day of the Sabbath was moved from Saturday to Sunday.
So are you telling our audience this afternoon that there's no doubt, based on history, historical facts, biblical facts, that Saturday is the Sabbath?
There's no doubt.
As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church, one of his priests by the name of Father Leo Bart, wrote a very bold statement on May 21st, 1995. And he says perhaps the boldest thing and the most major change the church ever did, he said, happened in the first century. He said the holy day, the Sabbath day, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen, not from any direct note from the scriptures, but from the church's sense of its own power. The day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost 50 days later, came the first of the week. So this would be known as the new Sabbath. But listen to this statement. He said, but if people who take the scripture as their sole authority should largely become, who want to keep the Sabbath day, should come seven Adventists. Isn't that gentleman serious about his convictions? That if you want to keep the Bible and the Bible only, become a Seventh Adventist and keep the Sabbath day holy.
Brother Paul, Brother Julian, again, we should follow the Bible only as our rule of faith and our example. And again, when we look throughout the Bible, through the patriarchs, through the prophets, and through the New Testament, we see the examples, and more authoritatively, we see the example of Christ, where he kept the Sabbath holy. And he is our Lord in all things. He gave us victory in all things. And by faith, we should follow his example and keep the Sabbath day holy, seventh day Sabbath.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for this other opportunity to come before you. Lord, we come to you first, ask for forgiveness of our sins and clean us from all iniquity. Lord, as we go forth now on the subject on the Sabbath, we ask that you'll give us the power and the strength to study for ourselves, that we may see what the priests and the pastors and the bishops are saying to us, if they are true. And Lord, if it is true, we ask for your power and your strength to move in that direction. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our website is tpministries.org, and you can call us for that book, The Great Controversy, at 322-6273. Until next week, this is Paul Miller. May the peace of God be with you and your family.
This is Renrick.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.